Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Michael Irvin is brought to you by BetAmerica, America's sportsbook. The three-time Super Bowl champion, the Hall of Famer, one of the great wide receivers of all time, our buddy, number 88 himself, Michael Irvin. Michael, how are you?
Man, I'm doing well, man. I was riding down the highway. Let me tell you now, I was flying. I was hoping nobody would stop me because I wanted to get home, to get to a landline, to have this conversation. I didn't want to be messing with
cell phones in a bad location.
But, boy, we got a lot going on.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, how much over the speed limit were you going? Just out of curiosity. 10, 15, 50? What are we talking about here?
Yeah. Come on, man.
Where were you, in Florida?
You want me to confess? Maybe. It's the same. The speed limit was 55. Let's say I was going 85.
Wow.
85? I could have said 88.
That was your number. That's you.
That's right.
No, seriously, I was like, man, I got to get home. I can't have this with all of this. After watching that Monday night football game, I was in New York.
Oh my God!
Listen, Joe, I know you guys. We got to remember that stuff too. I saw on the sideline, and we talked about it We talked about it from a team's perspective. Be careful what you wish for, you know. And talking about Giants and Pittsburgh getting rid of some players, getting rid of those players, and now both being 0-2. But I was thinking about it as we talked about it on the show. From a player's perspective, be careful what you wish for, because I could have sworn I saw Le'Veon Bell about to cry on the sideline.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like he said, what the hell have I done?
Yeah. I was crying, too. You know what ticks me off the most about this game the other night? They could have won this game. They were in the game. Cleveland is no world beater. They were in this game at 16-3, and the quarterback whisperer, the great quarterback whisperer that we have as a head coach, who bought coffee for Peyton Manning, so he's like this great, you know, he knows about quarterbacks. What are you doing on 3rd and 2, you know, from the 11-yard line? Can you give the ball to Le'Veon Bell twice when you're going to go for it on 4th down instead of throwing a ball in the end zone with the 3rd-string quarterback?
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, yeah, I saw that, and they were in this game, and I thought they were about to score on that drive.
Right.
I said, oh my God, this is about to be a 16-10 game. And my focus really turned to Cleveland, thinking, oh my God, Cleveland's about to start like 0-6, because I don't know if you see those next 4 or 5 games. They got this incredible.
I got the Rams next week.
Well, my team's starting 0-6. You can take that to the bank.
Yeah, you can take that to the bank. And make a lot of money. You can take that to the bank, because that's the reality of what's about to
happen. Let me ask you this.
Your misery and sorrow, you won't be in that hole alone. You got the Dolphins to be with you, the Giants with you. You got some people in that hole with you that look like they're about to be 0-6, too.
The problem is we, like, own the hole. You know what I'm saying? They're just renting space. We basically own it.
Yeah. They're coming in. You're right. What do they call that? They're subleasing from you guys.
Yes.
They're subleasing. Hey, can we just sublease a little spot down here from you guys? That's the truth, man. It's hard business, man.
It's hard.
What did you think of the decision to pull the plug on Eli Manning? The new era begins next weekend or this Sunday with Daniel Jones. What are your thoughts on it?
Gettleman's my thought. You know, it's okay. Why are you here? You know, and honestly, Eli, I know it's easy to dump on Eli, but Eli wasn't playing horrifically. He wasn't playing horribly. It's all what's around, too. Eli doesn't have anything around him. Look, Golden Tate's not there. You know, you jettison Odell Beckham. You saw that 89 yards the other night. That could have been for the Giants. But no, now that's for Cleveland because you got rid of the man. And now you believed in Eli, but you didn't put anything around Eli. And now you put him in this situation. And it's a hard situation. And honestly, I don't like seeing it happen to him. But I do believe that they had to do it. I think I may have said to somebody, or maybe not to you guys, I said it won't go 4 weeks before they make the change. They made the change even sooner than I thought. I thought they would at least give it the first quarter of the season to see if we can come out of the first quarter of the season, even now, 2-2, and say, okay, we got a shot. But now they're saying, no, we're going in that direction, which I understand. You rather put the young guy in instead of just lose with Eli, because you're losing with Eli. You're losing games, and you're losing whatever future possibilities there are, because he's not going to be around in the future. At least with Daniel Jones, you get some lose win in. We're going to lose these games, but we're going to win right by getting him some experience, because he is going to be here for the future. They're just trying to remove themselves from a lose-lose situation. But gentlemen, is where I go with it at first. You're gonna keep, if you knew you were gonna keep Eli, then you don't get rid of Odell Beckham. If you knew you were gonna keep Eli, but if I knew I was getting rid of Odell, then I should have probably checked to see if somebody would have given me something for Eli.
Mm. Eli Hall of Famer, Mike.
I was looking at those numbers, on career wins and all of that, and Eli's about 500 quarterback, but I guarantee you he will be in the Hall of Fame. First of all, he's a quarterback. He's a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, and his last name is Manning. He will be in the Hall of Fame.
But don't you think, forget his last name, winning two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs, and the way he played in those Super Bowl runs.
Right. Incredible.
It is incredible, and to me, it kind of makes up for the fact that, yeah, his career numbers are pedestrian, I'd admit it. He has a 500 career record, I'd admit it. He's never been a top five quarterback in any given year, for the most part, throughout his career. I think all that's fair, but don't you look at two Super Bowl MVPs and say, you know what, that overshadows everything else. Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. He deserves it.
That gets him in. When he won big, and he got to where he needed to be, And there are people that put up the great numbers, and he has numbers. I mean, not wins, losses numbers, but he has numbers and yards and all of that stuff. He just has numbers and interceptions, too. But that didn't bother him for Brett Favre and all of that stuff, so you throw him in. And anyway, quarterbacks anywhere, they put quarterbacks in. They sniff for quarterbacks. They look for quarterbacks to put in the hall. If you did anything, and especially, you win two Super Bowls, like you mentioned, and two MVPs, then they definitely get in. So there's no doubt I will be sitting in that Niskin luncheon one day with Eli Manning.
Why isn't Jim Plunkett in the Hall of Fame then?
Well, that's a good question there. It's so funny you bring that up. We were talking about that last year at the hall. Some guys were talking about it. And that's some, and maybe because they're trying to do this 2020 thing where they kind of make up for some of the lost guys.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean? And put in like 20 guys for 2020, so they can go clean up some of the mess that some of these other writers that held out personal grudges against people, because it used to be personal grudges.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, please.
Personal grudges in
of
there.
Of course.
And it's so funny, which I think is funny, because they tell you that. Off field stuff and all of that stuff, they don't supposed to hold against you, but they hold it against you, and then they get in there and hold their own feelings in tow when they're making judgments on others or voting for others. So that's kind of, hypocritical. But that's what that is. I think Plunkett should definitely be in there.
When you look at your former team, the Dallas Cowboys, Joe and I were talking about it earlier, they're damn talented.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Maybe this is going to be their turn to participate in what a caller labeled the New England Patriots Invitational, also known as the Super Bowl. What do you feel about this Cowboy team 2 weeks in right now?
First of all, let me steal that from you, the New England Patriots Invitational. I will be taking that to TV.
Go ahead. You make sure you do that, Mike. You don't even have to mention our show when you do it.
Exactly.
That is I am going to throw this show out. I was talking about playing Joy and Evan, you know, on New York radio show, and that's what they brought. This is their thing, the New England Invitational, because that's what it is, and that's what it looks like now.
Yeah.
We're about to start, because you know how this thing goes in cycles. We are about to start comparing this team now to the 07 team that went undefeated and had all of these weapons on the field and everything and broke all of these records with all of these great players, weapons that they had on the field. So, yeah, it does look like Dallas. I talked about that last night. Dallas right now, Dallas and the Rams, and I, you know, probably get an edge to Dallas because all of a sudden, first of all, I don't know how healthy Todd Gurley will be in the long run with that arthritic knee. But I'll give the edge to Dallas, and because I love them, I'll give the edge to Dallas there. But boy, yes, they look like now that they are playing for that New England Invitational.
Yeah, no doubt. Talking to the great Michael Irvin, speaking of the Cowboys. Talking about the New England Invitation in New England, there's only two teams in the league, and I've been thinking about this a lot, that I think can beat the Patriots. Your team, the Cowboys, and the Chiefs. That's it. I don't see anybody else that could certainly beat them in a big game, but beat them maybe even period, Michael.
You don't think the Rams have a shot?
I don't love the Rams. They beat them last year in the Super Bowl. They'll beat them again.
Yeah, but now, I mentioned this. I had them last week as my playmaker. They beat him in the Super Bowl without Cooper Kupp.
I understand.
Cooper Kupp makes a difference on that football team.
Yeah.
Because he gives Goff somewhere to go quickly. And when those other guys, Cook and other guys are all covered, Kupp is always, seems like he's uncoverable in the slot and making plays. And I'm like, man, he makes a difference. That's the only reason I say they will have a chance now at New England because Kupp is on the football field. But outside of that, it's Dallas, Kansas City, New England. That's it.
Yep.
We're doing it Thursday night. We're going to ask who else can compete in the AFC with Kansas City and New England. When they asked the question, I just got quiet. They said, Michael, you there? I said, yeah. They said, what's your answer? I said, you just heard it when you didn't hear anything. That's it. When you did hear anything, you heard my answer because there is no answer to that question.
It's funny. Most of the time, I'd respond to you by saying, you know, Michael, it's the NFL. Somebody's going to step up, somebody we least expect. With that said, there does feel like there's a huge gap between New England, then Kansas City, and everybody else. And sure, the Ravens are off to a good start. Yep. Lamar Jackson has played incredibly well.
They play the Chiefs this week, though.
And they do. And who knows, maybe that'll change kind of the storyline if they go in there and surprise us. But it does feel like there is a huge gap between those two teams and everybody else. The ease of Patrick Mahomes throwing for 400 yards and what he did in one quarter last week.
Yep.
It feels as if the gap is as big as I can remember between those two and everyone else.
The only thing I would add to that, though, is when you do bring in the Ravens, excuse me, and I think we'll see it this week. What you have to do to beat the Patriots is out-physical them.
Mm.
That's why, the Chiefs, okay, watch now. The Chiefs had a shot at beating them, you know, last year, except for the offsides and all of that.
Yeah.
But sooner or later, Belichick's going to figure that out. He's going to figure that out. He's going to give you some schemes. He's going to figure that out. He'll play back and make you small ball him when he knows you're a big ball team. And when you like to go up top all the time, it takes Tariq Hill out of the game and says, okay, let me see you Tom Brady, me and Tom Brady, by just small balling. And most guys get impatient with that, especially most young quarterbacks who, as you said, are used to dropping 400 out the bucket, climbing out of the bed, throwing for 400. They get impatient with the small ball. He'll figure out a way. Now, if the Ravens can show up and be physical, they need to do this week with Kansas City, and still add that element that nobody thought they would have with Lamar Jackson. And let me mention his name that I'm not hearing enough about. That kid, Hollywood Brown, is off the chain.
Yeah.
This little kid reminds me so much of DeSean Jackson, man, because DeSean Jackson is a guy with track speed, a real football player with track speed. We keep finding track guys trying to make them football players. This kid, Hollywood Brown, he's another one of those football players with track speed, and he made a huge play on that third down with the Ravens the other day to win the game. That will give them a chance if they can remain physical in the run game and still give us that surprise element of the passing game. They got a shot.
I think Bob Hayes is the only guy that would fill that bill that you just said, that he was a track star and then became a great football player. There's been plenty. Who was it? Skeets Nehemiah, Jimmy Hines comes to mind. That
right.
were track guys that really couldn't make it in the NFL. The great Bob Hayes is really the only one that I can think of.
The only one. You're right. He's the only one that converted over. Why you bring up Ronaldo Nehemiah? You remember that, right?
Come on. Mike, come on, man. You think I don't remember this stuff? I'm an old man. I'm going to be 66 next week, Mike.
Under route. Your read has to be, if it's man, you run away from the guy that's chasing you. And, you know, you got to go up maybe 7 yards and maybe losing just a little bit of ground. Well, if you got Ronaldo Nehemiah's speed, you don't even have to lose ground. You just run away from him.
Right, right.
But if it's zone,
you need to catch the ball first.
Down because you're running from out of one man area into another man area to another man area. And Ronaldo didn't slow down. He didn't sit down. He didn't turn and make himself available to the quarterback. He ran through a zone. And, oh, my God, the hit that they put on him, it was incredible. I'm just saying, that changed all track people right there. When
right.
they saw him get hit like that,
right.
they were like, wait a minute. There's no way we'll ever do this again. That was good. Just mentioning that brought that memory back to my mind.
You got to be able to catch the ball, too. I mean, that helps a lot.
That helps a whole lot. That you got to catch the ball.
No kidding. You know, we've seen this a lot in the NBA with guys controlling their future. We're starting to see a lot of that now in the NFL where guys are demanding trades.
Yeah.
Guys are saying, get me out of here. We now have it with Jalen Ramsey, his agent's asking for a trade. We saw Antonio Brown get out of Pittsburgh, then get out of Oakland. What's your thoughts on that trend right now?
Yeah, and I saw Monday night, so Steve talking about that also and mentioning that in that sense that this is getting NBA-ish, you know. But I don't think it'll get there. I don't think it'll get there. First of all, you know, you can demand the trade. Doesn't mean these teams now are going to capitulate and give in. The Jacksonville situation is a little different. You know, Earl Thomas was demanding a trade. What did Seattle say? Okay, keep demanding, but keep playing. You know what I'm saying? So I understand that we're trying to blanket it over. But the Jacksonville situation is different in this sense. You just had a blow-up with the head coach. Now, I'm hearing the reports that they said nothing will happen before Friday. I will be shocked, and I even go. I'll go to Jacksonville later on today for the game tomorrow night. But I will be shocked if we don't hear a report about an owner. Not Coughlin. This has to be an owner. This has to be an owner that sits down with the head coach and Jalen Ramsey before this game tomorrow night because of what happened. You cannot leave Jalen Ramsey unhappy like this, going at it with his head coach in that locker room and just don't do anything about it, because what happens now is every bad decision that's made by Marone on that football field is going to be something Jalen takes back in the locker room and start talking, even if he talks to a few of his guys. Oh, man, see, this is what I told you. This is what I'm talking about. And it can start a bad situation in that locker room. They have to have a sit-down before that game tomorrow night.
What's your thoughts on the Niners off to a 2-0 start?
I love what I was watching. I was studying them. The other day, Monday? I was watching that film over on that last game. It seemed like every time they touched the ball, they were running for about 10 yards. And Kyle Shanahan is one of the great great coaches in this league. Young offensive mind coaches that don't get enough credit. He doesn't get the Sean McVay type credit, but he deserves it because he's that good. And they got good young talent. I love the Kittle, the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
You saw Samuel starting to show up now in that last game. Did you see the run Breer made? The running back, how he flipped Jackson. I mean, he just right in the hole. It was in a phone booth, man. He faked them out in a phone booth. I was like, wow, that was an incredible run. They got a lot of good talent and great coaching. Out of the two 2-0 teams, you look at San Francisco, you look at Buffalo, you say, which one of those are fugazi? Which one is more real than the other? I would say San Francisco right now over Buffalo.
Well, Buffalo beat the Jets and the Giants. I mean, let's, you know.
Yeah, and about to see somebody for real this week.
Well, they play the Bengals. I don't know how real they are.
Yeah. Oh, they play the Bengals. I was thinking about the New England game.
No, it's the week after.
No, the week after. Then they get New England. After New England puts 70 on the Jets, Mike, because I think it's about 70, 72.
That's right. You guys play New England.
Oh, yeah. My God.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Do you realize that? Do you realize, Mike, this is really bothering me? Michael, 72.
That's right.
What's the record for most points in an NFL game?
Because they got 21 points favorite.
23
now.
23 favorite. The New England's favorite 23, and the Cowboys are 21 over Miami.
Right.
That's what it is. It's first. Yeah. The only time this has happened was when. You know, it was the scab year.
1987. That's correct.
That's 87. Okay, yeah, you guys got all that information.
Oh, yeah, we're all over this stuff. We're talking to the great Michael Irvin. what do you figure about the all-time record for points in an NFL game is what, 72?
72.
73?
72.
No, 73-0 was that game by the Bears over the Redskins in the championship game.
All right.
So I think it's 73. You think Belichick will go for that this week against the Jets? Maybe go for like 75 against them?
You think he'll drop 75 on?
Can't you see? Tell me you wouldn't be surprised.
To 75?
Right. I could see it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he has a thing against Gase.
Gase beat him twice in Miami. Didn't he beat him twice? He beat him with that crazy play at the end of the half
last year.
The
Miami Miracle.
Come on. Of course he's got something against Gase.
He's not going to hold that up. He still wouldn't have won a Super Bowl after that. So,
Michael, Belichick's son could coach the Jets and have something against the Jets.
He'll slow the score down at 60.
60. He'll truck Gostkowski out for the field goal late in the game. Let me go, we're up 63. Let me hit another one.
At 60, he'll start pulling back and said, I don't want to do that. But I tell you what, I will see probably. This time, you'll see some tears coming down Le'Veon Bell's face. Like, oh, my God.
Can I ask you this question? Because I'm really concerned. Le'Veon's been great so far. I mean, let me tell you something. He really has. I mean, he's running. He's getting gains with no. I mean, the offensive line's giving him no holes at all to run through. And this guy's, you know,
he's running hard.
Right, he's been running real hard.
Jumping over people,
no doubt,
trying to make it work. When everybody else saying, "Well, don't get yourself killed out there, not killed." So, that's the correct way, but killed.
So Mike, when they're 0-6,
don't get killed out there because you're not winning any football games. But he is working hard and running hard. You got to appreciate that.
I do. But when they're 0-6, okay, when they lose that second time to the Patriots and now they're 0-6, what's Le'Veon? Is he going to still be into it like he is now? I'm a little worried about that with him. I got to tell you, Mike.
I think he will. He's trying to establish his team here and establish that with his legacy is. And I think he will still be in it and run hard. I mean, that's what he is. I'm like you, Joe. I was like, man, you can appreciate a guy running that hard when the situation looks that bleak.
Right.
I was like, man, that's a bright spot. You know what he's saying to me? If I'm on that team, I'm like, come on, man. Look at this, man. It's all we can give. You know, he's given all of this. He just got here, and he's given all of this. It's something to inspire and try to lift the rest of these guys up. I don't know how high you can lift them up. You can lift them up to a victory, but you got to at least try, and I love that he's trying.
Yeah, and he's been terrific. He really has.
No, he's been fantastic, and he says the right things. I know losing can't be easy, especially when you're not a guy. They're not exactly opening up any holes for the guy
right now. There's none. I mean,
nothing.
The offensive line's been terrible.
That's why his performance is better than even the numbers.
It is.
And Adam Gase is trying to do some things and get him outside of that offensive line and throw him some short passes. You know, if you didn't want to try to run the ball on those short yards like that, like you were talking about where he's trying to go in the end zone, then I'm saying let's drop back and get Le'Veon outside
of the
line and dump him off a short ball, even if it's in the flat. You saw him, they dumped him some balls in the flat. He beat the first man. He's going to beat the first man most of the time, and he can still get you those yards you need for that first down. You just got to use them correctly with the talent that you have, especially on that offensive line.
Absolutely. Michael, thank you for speeding to get home on a landline. Yeah. That's a class act there.
Yeah, it's all good, man. As long as I didn't get a ticket,
that's the kid.
If I get that ticket, I'm going to just send it right on up to you guys.
We'll pay for it. Don't worry. The fan will take care of it.
Yeah, they'll come.
I'll send it right on up.
Thanks, you, Michael.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Be well. The great Michael Irvin.
A Hall of Famer himself. We'll come back. Some thoughts on Jamal Adams. He had to answer some questions yesterday with Maggie and Bart concerning his social media habits and basically starting rumors himself without saying anything. He did start some rumors. So we'll address how he kind of answered it yesterday with Maggie and Bart and his future with the Jets, considering guys on bad teams want to get traded. That's like the new trend now in the NFL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.